Welcome back, folks. Third hour of the War Room is on. Jasmine Crockett was one of the Democrats questioning Les Wexner yesterday. She spent a good 5 minutes trying to get him to say that Donald Trump is involved. We're going to go to that full questioning here for the first 5 minutes, and we'll be joined in studio by Paul Bondar on the other side. Stay with us. Here's Jasmine Crockett questioning Les Wexner. Clip 52.
Did you ever spend time with Epstein and Donald Trump?
Together?
Yes.
I would answer this question accurately. I would go to some of the Victoria's Secret fashion shows because it's very important to the brand. At some of the fashion shows, Jeffrey was there and some Trump was there. And I remember because Trump would always introduce himself to me. And I always thought it was kind of odd that he was at the fashion show because he had nothing to do with fashion. So the coincidence of them being together at an event, it could have been that, but I have no specific recollection. I never had a social or like a drink or a cup of coffee, something, you know, that would put them together.
Okay, so just to clarify, because I want to make sure we're clear on the record, you're saying that you can recall instances potentially where Epstein and Trump were together and you were in their presence, or just a random scenario where Epstein may be there, Trump may be there separately, and then you would be
there? It would be at random. That would be accurate. If it happened, but I have no specific recollection.
Okay. Did you ever see or become aware of President Trump having a sexual relationship with a person who was introduced to him by Epstein or Maxwell?
No.
Has Donald Trump ever discussed Jeffrey Epstein with you?
No.
Did Jeffrey Epstein ever discuss Donald Trump with you?
I would describe it, he would name drop it. So he would say things like, I know President Clinton, or I know the Pope, or I know God, or you know, or I know you. It was that kind of name dropping, but never, I can't remember specific place, but Jeffrey dropped a lot of names.
Okay. So to clarify, you believe he's specifically dropped Donald Trump's name?
No, I'm saying it could have, and I don't remember.
Okay. Did Epstein ever share any information with you about Donald Trump's sexual activities?
No.
Do you have a relationship with Donald Trump?
No.
That you've met him before?
He introduced himself to me at the fashion show a couple of times, but I wouldn't say, hello, how are you? Like you say, met, like in, we knew each other, we don't know each other. I'd be shocked if he remembered me.
Okay. And I know that you specifically mentioned the island, that you have been to Jeffrey's island. Do you recall seeing any of those persons that Jeffrey Epstein name dropped while you were on his island?
No, nobody was there but Abigail, myself, Jeffrey, maybe somebody cutting grass or something. There was a maintenance person, I think, but I don't specifically recall. I know for sure I was there. Abigail was there. Jeffrey was there.
And there wasn't anything abnormal about the appearance of the home on the island? And the reason that I asked, just to give you clarification on what I mean by abnormal, we've heard reports of people being thrown off when they walked into his home in New York because there was a massage table that was just sitting randomly in the middle of a room. Did you see anything like that when you visited any property?
Thanks for all your support. Today and tomorrow are the last days to get 100 times X entries into the amazing raffle, where both of the offerings of the Shelby Mustang and the awesome Ford off-road truck, when you get 100X for every dollar you spend on the store, put into the raffle, you get put in for just the next 2 days, just all that's left, to get both vehicles. That ends tomorrow. Every order in the site for a very limited time is this hat. And this is a classic design that I put out on InfoWars like 20 years ago. And it's a ring of, 13 stars around 1776. It's simple, it's clean, and it's just exciting, and it spreads the word. So every order, on top of the sales that are already there, for a limited time, gets a free 1776 ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com.
Dismantling the globalist agenda hour by hour. This is the War Room with Harrison Smith.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Thursday evening, and I'm joined in studio now by Paul Bondar. You can follow him at ElectBondar on X, electbondar.com. You're also on Instagram at RealPaulBondar and Facebook, Paul Bondar. You're a Texas businessman, former Division I football standout, family man, and America First conservative who's running for Congress in Texas's 32nd district. Paul, thank you so much for being here.
Harrison, thank you. I'm so pleased and honored to be here with you.
Well, it's my pleasure, and this is a local race, but it has national implications and a national character to it. I know we were talking about before the show. Tell us why it's important for everybody listening right now to understand what's going on in Texas's 32nd district.
Well, I ran as a candidate because, quite frankly, I'm sick and tired of shams, scams, and I'm running to drain the swamp. And people have got to realize that stealing elections is not just happening in woke blue cities where you have ridiculous ballot drop boxes and no voter ID. I'm going to tell you, it's happening in Texas right now. We need to have voter integrity, and I'm calling for voter integrity. I'll give you a case in point how this relates. I got an opponent that looks great on paper, but once you start looking at things, the guy lives on the shadow of the Oklahoma border. He's 75 miles outside of the district. He sued a guy last time he lost a race for a guy not living in district, and now he's turning around and running 75 miles out of this district. And then lo and behold, we look at where the funding is coming from, and it's 1.1, just under 1.1 last time I checked, in PAC money, and we have no idea who's behind this PAC money. And it's mostly being media buys through shell corps or different corporations from the D.C. Beltline and Pennsylvania and Delaware. So I got to ask the public, for a seventh generation Texan and for the people of CD32, how do you feel about your race being decided by money that we have no idea who's behind? Shouldn't we have election transparency? Shouldn't we at least know that if somebody's getting money to back them, who's backing them?
Yeah,
we have no idea. And this is a systemic problem. And case in point, I'll take it even one step further. On February 3rd, he had a big fundraiser, and the special guest is Peter Thiel.
Mm.
And Peter Thiel is linked in, I don't know how many names, with the Epstein files, and that's kind of a big deal right now. If you want your rep, who has really not two nickels of his own to rub together, he says, and he's being funded by people that we don't know who, and Peter Thiel is now throwing personal fundraisers for this particular candidate, Jace Yarborough, to get him help get him elected, who's now in the Epstein files. Harrison, I'm sick and tired of the shams and the scams. And as somebody who actually lives in this district, I'm putting my own money on the line to fight because, frankly, the American people are insulted with this. We've already had one election be stolen in 2020, and there's meddling going on in the congressional elections. And this is Soros 2.0, if you ask my personal opinion.
Mm. Yeah, it's tricky now because it clearly the powers that be decided that running MAGA candidates was a good way to hijack the MAGA spirit and the populist uprising. They couldn't really contain it. So I think now they're trying to infiltrate it. And yet they're being very successful in this. I'm sort of shocked at how successful they have, in a way, kind of shattered the MAGA coalition with these big tech guys and pushing stuff that regular Americans don't want. How do we fight back against this? And how do we determine who's a real MAGA patriot and who is just putting on the costume because they know it wins elections?
Yeah, putting on the costume. Who's a wolf in sheep's clothing?
Right.
Why is it that everybody said, oh, we had such high hopes for this person, but they changed when they got to D.C.? Well, ladies and gentlemen, guess what? They didn't change when they got to D.C. They brokered a deal to get their sorry butts to D.C., And they already sold their soul out, and that's how a lot of our political officials are getting elected. I'm just going to say this. I'm calling for election transparency. If you're proud of the money, and he's already been caught lying on video. I've already called him out on it. He says, well, this money is all coming from my endorsements. Bull crap. Don't insult us. This guy's the biggest name dropper in town. He loves to talk about everybody that he knows. If this money, this million-plus dollars, was coming from friendly people that were mega Republicans, he'd be having an airplane dotting the skies and telling everybody. But when money is not known, this is what is the root of the evil in our country.
Yep.
This is the subversive hand, the systemic problem. It happens all the time with the Democrats. Unfortunately, it's not good enough to control one political party. Now it's happening on the Republican side as well. And so the people that really want to be the tech bros, that want to run the government, that want to be able to put a person in place that's going to be a person that's going to be their puppet, find a candidate that doesn't have resources that they can then control and put into a seat. It's nothing new, but it's become very common lately.
Yeah.
And I'm blowing the whistle on it because this is why we're losing our republic. This is why we're losing our country. This is why a mega party. I'm worried about the mega. I'm worried about the Republican Party.
Yeah.
We're at a crossroads right now. And I'll say this. I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. We have got to protect kids in this country. If you're abusing children, you should go to jail. If you're seriously abusing kids, capital punishment. And I don't care what political party it is. And I'm really concerned for President Trump because, once again, he's got people in his cabinet that are letting him down. Pam Bondi, if he can't get the job done, I'm a big fan. I was like, man, Florida, Pam Bondi, you are great. Let's go. Let's rock and roll. I wanted Anthony Fauci to get justice for the genocide of COVID-19. I wanted the rock and roll, and we were going to get the election integrity for 2020. We're finally going to take, and nothing's happening. And I tell you what, it's a lot of big hat and no cattle, and the people in Texas, we're all getting a little bit restless because there's been a lot of talk and no action.
Absolutely, and it's like what is happening with Trump? I think is my big question, because whether it's the Epstein thing or, you know, just the fact that everything you're saying is what Trump originally ran on in 2016. It's why people liked him. He wasn't taking other people's money. He couldn't be bought out. Everybody else was for sale, but he wasn't. It seems like all of that is flipped. He was the champion saying you would release Epstein. That flipped completely. It just seems like MAGA has gone completely off the rails, and it's a lot of this outside money that's causing that. And I don't know, like, what do we do about this? Because you say the republic's going down. It's like it's already so broken, it's like not even functional, right? The idea is that you're supposed to elect people that are like prominent figures in your community who can represent you and your interests. Instead, you got this puppet and this puppet, and they're both controlled by billionaires who God only knows where they live. I don't even think they have homes. Most of the time, they're on yachts or in some sort of cryogenic chamber or something. These people don't seem human to me half the time. But that's obviously completely knocked our system off the rails as well, and in a way that makes it impossible for us to even elect the right people to fix it. It's
our government has been hijacked.
Right.
Bottom line, drop the microphone. Sorry, democracy right now, it's a sham and it's a scam, and I'm sorry. We saw a stolen election, but guess what? That is like what's going on in Minnesota. That's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yep.
These local races, these congressional races that people don't pay too much attention to. And, you know, unfortunately, I see a lot of candidates and they just kind of go along with the system, and they're just going to go to the forums, and they're just going to be just led like sheep down the path. Well, you know what I say? Bullshit. It's time we fight back. And win or lose, Paul Bondar is not going to allow the people in our district where I live to elect a guy who's a carpetbagger, living an hour and a half, 2 hours, depending on traffic. He needs to take a plane to get to the east part of the district, being put up by a bunch of proxy money. And that's what it is. And if it's not, as I told him a couple nights ago, to quote Jerry Maguire, show us the money. Mm. Show us the money. This yeah. super PAC dark money is a scam. And until we fix that, we're going to live in a broken system, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's tough because on paper, somebody like Jace Yarbrough looks really good. He looks, really MAGA. Donald Trump endorsed him. But again, Donald Trump is endorsing all sorts of crazy people out there right now. Well. And so, again, it's like they have figured out, okay, we at least have to cloak ourselves in MAGA if we want any chance to win. Again, like for viewers out there that they don't know you personally, they don't know Jace personally, like how do you determine the truth and lies? How do you determine who's a real wolf in sheep's clothing?
Well, first of all, you have to look at actions. I mean, the media and the packaging. I told a lot of people, if this was a beauty pageant, I'd be the first one voted out probably. Right? You have so many candidates that are so packaged so well. But the reason I had clients that would literally, I never worried about being liked by my clients. And I started my company up in 2008 during the Obama nightmare recession. And I started it with one employee and I was going to make $30,000 a year. And I slept on my couch the first month because I didn't have money to go live in an apartment. So literally I have people that wanted to say, I'd like to write a book about your life because you are a meritocracy. And I grew up from a very small home. Father was a police officer. Mom was a stay-at-home mother. My grandfather served in World War II. He fought in 23 major battles. Ooh. He was awarded the Silver Star. There were 2,000 men around him in his battalion. He was one of nine of 2,000 to live.
Wow.
So let me just put that in context. He saw 1,991 men around him die in the pursuit of freedom.
Right.
And growing up, he told me the same thing that I grew up with. My grandfather and Ronald Reagan, we are one generation away from losing freedom. Right. We have got to fight like heck. We have got to fight to protect this freedom. And I think it's absolutely a system right now where our government has been taken over by influence, super PACs, and we've got to fix this. Now, as a businessman, I never worried about being liked. I was loved by my clients because you know what? They knew that I wasn't telling them what they wanted to hear. I had their back and I performed. And sometimes I would tell them the things they didn't want to hear.
Right.
And they would get on planes eventually and they would come and have steak dinners with me as their vendor. They would come see me and seek me out. And I'd have a steak dinner with them and I'd save their companies. I made a lot of people into multimillionaires being right. It's time somebody is right for our district. And to have a shill plant from the deep state that lives 75 miles away being pushed with every endorsement. Now, I'm not going to blame Donald Trump because as a businessman, I know something. You delegate things. Donald Trump has got more important things to do than worry about handing out congressional and state endorsements. As a matter of fact, he just gave a tweet about this recently. SD9 was a special election. And the Republican was in a plus 17. We were supposed to just bury this, just like our race here. It's a plus 17 in CD32. It's like a 30-point swing, and the Democrat ended up winning this race. And Donald Trump said, hey, I don't even know this person who I endorsed. So I get it. As a businessman, I would delegate my endorsements sometimes. You know, I would delegate certain things to my staff. But what I'm saying is come on, staff. We got to support our president a little bit better and get it together. It's either that or, you know, we got some folks with some influence or helping to finagle those endorsements, maybe just a little bit.
A little bit. And again, you know, I love Trump, but I'm on Trump's team. I want him to succeed. But you see the way that he goes after Marjorie Taylor Greene or Thomas Massie. And to a degree, I'm disappointed in Marjorie Taylor Greene. It's like it's going to be a fight, but you got to be in it for the long run. It seems like Republicans just don't have the fire. They don't have the fight. We're not willing to go for it in the long term. How do we light that fire in people?
Well, I think sometimes, what all I'm hearing in politics is fight, fight, fight. The problem we have is we have a soulless nation that our nation was built on work. And in D.C., that's a word I never hear. That's a four-letter word you never hear in D.C. Never do you hear somebody say, you sure they hear him say fight, but never do I say I'm going to go and work. And as a guy who worked his way out of a 900-square-foot house to be able to get a Division I football scholarship with my teammate, by the way, who became the Dallas quarterback for about 15 years, who should be a Hall of Famer. Tony Romo should be a Hall of Famer, by the way. The great man, great Christian. We came out of a small town together, right? We worked our way out of this town. I started my company with nothing. And to be able to have the biggest companies eventually say, Paul, we'd rather buy you out because you're taking millions of dollars of market share away from us, and it's easier for us to work with you. We want your intellectual capital to help us and to get the kind of that. And this is America, right? That is the American story. That's what we need to do in D.C. But instead, you know what we have, Harrison? We got a bunch of grifters. We got a bunch of leeches. And we got them on both sides of the party. And I'm sorry if this offends you, but it's the truth, and the American people deserve better. And is my number one obligation when people say, Paul, why are you going to be different? I'm going to represent the people within my district. My people come first. That's my lane. That's my duty. Just like when I was a businessman, my client's obligation came first. And I didn't worry about being liked by them, but I was loved by them because I knew my heart was for them.
You know, that goes into everything that we've been talking about today with, because we were talking for a long time about this spill in the Potomac and just this idea that leftists and Democrats, they get into office and they just don't even pretend to care about being competent in what they're supposed to be doing. They just take the power and use it to try to progress their own political agenda. And I'm just laughing at your description of politicians, because I put that all the time. They'll come out to the podium and they'll say, we've been working so hard. We've been working hard on this. And you think like, well, okay, all you were doing was sitting around a meeting room deciding how much of other people's money to spend. Was that really working? Was that really so strenuous for you?
Yeah, like the car salesman that says, let me go back to my manager and I got you the best deal ever. Well, there was no manager back in that empty room, and the American people see it, and we're sick and tired, and that's why I'm running with my money, because just like my grandfather, I'm fighting for freedom because I'm so disgusted with what I see. And if somebody doesn't do something soon to try to stop the way the system is going, we're not going to have a country economically, socially, or culturally.
Yeah.
And that's where we are.
And a lot of people don't even think it's possible to vote our way out of this now. And I sort of day by day, I'm like, it's over, we're done. And it's like, no, we have hope. We have to cling on. Is it even possible to vote our way out of this? Is it possible to get back on track if we elect the right people?
Well, I'll let you know after my race. Because on paper, I mean, I'm one of the only candidates that has the resources. I live in the district. I have the accolades. But yet, a guy that lives three times closer to the shadow of the Oklahoma border is being pushed than somebody who actually lives in the district in Harrison. That's another thing. How can anybody ask somebody to vote for them when they can't even vote for themselves?
Right.
And if your family doesn't live in the district, you don't have skin in the game. And I think the problem with DC is it's a soulless pit. It's a soulless pit where it's all about do as I say, not as I do. It's thee and not me. And we saw this during COVID. People had a separate set of rules in DC than what they had for everybody else. And the American people have got to make a decision. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting things to change. Now, in this particular case, this other candidate is packaged pretty nicely. He's got about 12 talking points, which are pretty much polished and rehearsed, I'm sure, time and time again over the mirror. It's like, okay, this is this answer. I got scar tissue. I'm a fighter. Let's go on offense. I like to drive around at Stanford in my pickup truck. I mean, I can tell you his whole thing, lock, stock, and barrel. It's a whole routine. But the voters, unfortunately, the problem is we don't have a lot of voter attention. And so they just get little sound bites. They look for little cues. And it's like, that name looks familiar, I'll vote there. Yeah. And that's why we're losing our freedom. And that's why we're losing our country.
Well, and it does just seem like the system is so well established to do exactly what it's supposed to do, which is keep any of the people that would bring about change, keep them away from any levers of power that would actually facilitate that. And again, it's the endless frustration that I have as a MAGA voter, as a conservative, knowing that we do our part, we get the votes, we get them over the line, and then just nothing happens when they're in office. And there's just nothing we can do about it except for try again next time. And it's like, how do we break this cycle?
Well, eventually, I think, you know, when you're a monopoly, why do you have to do anything differently? The government is not a company. You know, and I lived in the business world. If I didn't perform and I didn't do what I was supposed to do, I would lose my account, right? I would lose. There's a consequence. What consequence does the government have? They don't have to do a daggone thing. And especially when you have people with influence to be able to control the elections and to get the folks elected that they want to get elected. Well, if that's the case, you're going to get crappy service. You're going to get bad results, and you're not going to get prosecutions, and you're not going to get the Epstein files opened up. And you're going to continue to get people that are connected with the Epstein files to support candidates that they want to get in office. Because I think that there's what would we call that? That's a conflict, not a conflict of interest, but a shared value. If somebody's connected with the Epstein files, maybe you'll want to make sure you get your dog in the hunt to take care of you. I'm just wondering. I'm not saying. I am questioning that.
Yeah. Well, no. The Epstein files are kind of like the biggest scandal in the history of the world. A little bit. Like, I can't think of a bigger scandal than what has been revealed in the Epstein files. And, you know, I keep saying we can't like let that drive us crazy, because I think there are a lot of communists out there that are like, see, it's capitalism. We have to throw it all out. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. But even worse than that would be nothing comes of this. None of the people that have been exposed go to jail. No systemic change. Make sure that we correct some of the things revealed in the Epstein file. And it seems like that's what is happening right now, is just we're not going to react too strongly, and it's kind of a hoax. Don't worry about it. That's totally unacceptable. The voters aren't going to accept this. What would be your advice for the Trump administration on how to deal with the Epstein files as they exist right now?
I think the Trump administration has to, you know, Donald Trump, if you're being held hostage somehow by somebody, blink twice.
Right.
I've been a Trump supporter since 2015, when I saw, I think it was a 60 Minutes interview after maybe a football game, and my wife said, here he is, you know, this guy is running for president. And he was a New Yorker, and I thought, apprentice guy. But I gave him a chance, and I listened to him. My wife said, wow, hey, that sounds like something you would say, but nobody else says. And I said, yeah. It does. It's pretty good. And then, I can't believe he said that. That was the Donald Trump that we all fell in love with.
Yep.
The Donald Trump that we fell in love with was the guy that would flip the money table. You know, Jesus Christ, the most important thing that they don't want to teach straight white males, especially in this country, is that Jesus Christ was not a wimp. Jesus Christ was crucified because he was willing to confront the establishment. And when he flipped the money tables, he confronted and created political upheaval, economic upheaval. Well, that's what we loved about Donald Trump. He was my guy. And right now, I think a lot of Americans are saying, we still need you, President Trump. But the people around President Trump seem to be letting us down. And we seem to be a ship without a rudder right now, where we're not moving forward on these issues. And we haven't lost faith, but we're just saying, the good folks in Texas are saying, let's go.
Yeah,
we need direction. We need to have this Epstein file get cleaned up, or if not, the Democrats are going to clean our clock in November.
Yeah,
we have got to get our hands around this.
And as soon as that happens, it's over for the Trump administration. I mean, it's impeachment and filibusters, and nothing gets done from that point on. So I think you're exactly right. And the difficult part is, when we appeal to Trump going, dude, we love you, we need you right now, that gets twisted and interpreted into they're attacking Trump and they're falling for a Democrat hoax. And it's like, how do we break through that that firewall to actually get to the truth? Again, my guest is Paul Bondar. You can follow him on X at electbondar, electbondar.com, on Instagram at realpaulbondar. We'll be right back. He's running in Texas 32nd District. More on the other side. Don't go anywhere, folks. It's a war room, Infowars.com.
Today and tomorrow, the last days to get 100 times X entries into the amazing raffle. It only happens every few months, where both of the offerings of the Shelby Mustang and the awesome Ford off-road truck, 100X for every dollar you spend on the store, put into the raffle. You get put in for just the next 2 days, is all that's left, to get both vehicles. There's a time where there's a crossover for 1 week. That ends tomorrow. Every order in the site for a very limited time, it's probably just last throughout the weekend, I'm told, is this hat. And this is a classic design that I put out on InfoWars like 20 years ago. I noticed everybody else copied it, which is cool. I just go, why don't we have that classic design back? So they brought it back, and it's a ring of, 13 stars? around 1776. And it's simple, it's clean, and a leftist probably won't kill you or murder you for it. You know, if you have like a MAGA or Infowars hat, that's a real adventure. This is just at the airport or wherever, story. Hey, patriots know. And it's just exciting, spreads the word. So every order, on top of the sales that are already there, for a limited time, gets a free 1776 ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the store, become a VIP for $30 a month. You can cancel any time for free. Instantly, you get $40 to spend each month. The minute you click that button for $30, you get $40 to spend. Special deals, special offers, special sales, top everything. So anybody buying anything should be a VIP. And it's really no commitment. You just get better deals. Cancel any time for free. One click in your profile. Everyone should be a VIP. Also, sometimes stuff runs out and sells out. You don't want to happen? Become a subscriber. Cancel any time. They hold it back for you at the biggest discounts as well. Become a VIP. Become a subscriber. But regardless, share the live feeds of the show. Tell folks about those local AM and FM stations, cable stations, because that's how we reach new people and that's how we change the world. The whole globalist house of cards is coming down. We've been vindicated. You've been vindicated. Nothing's going to stop that. Stay with us. Massive guest straight ahead. One of the most important things to me in my life is to get things right and to tell the truth and to be accurate. That's why they say Alex Jones is right. But it's not just our news, our prediction, our information that are incredibly accurate. It's the products. And out of all the amazing supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, our methylene blue, ultra methylene blue, is the best you're going to find on the market. It's so good for your body. Instant, clean, amazing energy. You owe it to yourself, if you sat on the fence, to go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get ultra methylene blue. And believe me, you are going to want to reorder it again. We have an 84% reorder on that product. No other supplement anywhere has anything even close. That is how amazing it is. Secure your ultra methylene blue now at thealexjonesstore.com. And thanks for keeping us on the air.
Repeat what you said is happening. You feel in the...
I feel like that stuff in my fingers. I feel tingling fingers.
There's the camera. Blast them with full power right there.
Ah!
Yeah! I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in. And they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives. These bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy. It locks for you. This is Forest Green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so just a little piece of history. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, get some ultramethylene blue.
What do you got there, Angel Eyes?
It's a new Patriot Silver folding knife from thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, Blondie, look at me. I got all three.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
I'm curious about a guy named Peter Thiel who co-founded PayPal, built the CIA surveillance system, installed a vice president, took $40 million from Jeffrey Epstein, and has openly said democracy doesn't work. And I'm curious why that's not on the news every single night. Thiel co-founded PayPal with Elon Musk, sold it to eBay for $1.5 billion, and in 2003 he started a company called Palantir, named after the Seeing Stones and Lord of the Rings, the ones the Dark Lord Sauron used to spy on everyone and corrupt anyone who touched them. And he named a surveillance company after that on purpose. Most villains at least try to be subtle. The CIA gave Palantir its first investment through a fund called InQtel that has received $1.2 billion of your tax dollars since 2011. So we help fund a surveillance company that now charges the government nearly $1 billion a year to use our own data against us. We paid to build the thing that
watches us cool. Palante builds the software that the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, and ICE all used to track people, and ICE paid them $30 million to build something called Immigration OS. It pulls your passport, your social security number, your tax records, your license plate scans, and gives you a score like a credit score, but for whether you get deported. The Israeli military uses Palantir's AI to identify targets in Gaza. UN report found it was used in what they called unlawful use of force, causing mass civilian casualties. This is a company launch with your tax dollars being used to decide who lives and who doesn't. Thiel has said in writing that he doesn't believe freedom and democracy are compatible. He follows a philosophy called the Dark Enlightenment that says democracy is a failed experiment. Society should be run like a corporation with a CEO king at the top. A government is supposed to work for the people. We literally invented this country on that idea, and he wants to replace it with a subscription. We never agreed to that. We can't cancel one of his side quests.
All right, folks, I just wanted to let that play and play. That is from a TikTok called Never Underscore Stop Underscore Asking. That was brilliant. My guest Paul Bondar brought that in. I was like, yeah, we'll play 30 seconds of it in a minute or so. And I'm like, it's too good. I just wanted to keep letting it play. That was absolutely fantastic. So I'm in studio with Paul Bondar. He's a Texas businessman, a former Division I football standout. He's running for Congress in Texas's 32nd district. Let me say that again. He's running for Congress in Texas's 32nd district. And of course, he is calling out his opponent, who, and we can see here if we go to dot cam, just was provided a fundraiser by Peter Thiel where they charge people $7,000 per couple to eat dinner with him. And, you know, Peter Thiel is one of these guys that when he came over to the MAGA, you know, end of the spectrum, a lot of people embraced him. A lot of people were happy to have somebody with his wealth and influence and, you know, strategic acumen on the team. However, it seems like everything he touches gets poisoned a little bit. And it looks like a lot of the MAGA base is not so happy to see Peter Thiel involved in things. And a lot of people, you know, J.D. Vance is supposed to be the sort of shoe-in to follow Donald Trump. But the fact that Peter Thiel helped sort of bring him up from the beginning has a lot of people soured on him. What is your take on Peter Thiel? Good guy, bad guy, pure, you know, opportunist?
I will say I have no comment. I'll let his life work speak for itself. If he likes, I guess he likes surveillance.
It's been very profitable for him.
If he likes surveillance, if he likes deep state things, you know, everybody's got an appetite for different things. For me, I like old fashioned values, freedom and American sovereignty, and being able to have fair and free elections that are not funded by dark money and $7,000 plates to jumpstart a failed campaign and to push a bunch of proxy endorsements so you can get a puppet that you can utilize. And if, you know, if that's your appetite, though, I know there are people that like that kind of thing. We're in a very diverse world. You know, the Democrats tell us diversity is a wonderful thing. I've always said unity is a better thing, though.
Mm-hmm. Harmony. Harmony is even better than discord, I think. We can be different, but we want to all be on the same page and in the same key and on the same beat, right? But we don't want everybody to be exactly the same. But again, it's like Peter Thiel is clearly sort of setting himself up as the shadow puppet master of new MAGA, whatever this new form of MAGA is that seems to have diverged pretty significantly from what it used to be. And, you know, again, people want to act like this is people hating Trump, but no, we love Trump and he's gone off the rails. What do we do?
Well, I think, you know, people are familiar with what George Soros has done.
Yep.
Do you see much of a distinction in some of the similarities with getting involved in these elections and not having transparencies on these super PACs?
Yeah.
I would just like to know who's behind these funds. And I think that's a flaw with our election integrity. And we have got to, if we're going to fix this country, I go back to what I said, I'm going to stay consistent. You follow the money. Money is what makes the world go round. I hate to say it, it really is true. When you have somebody putting and investing heavily into a candidate and you don't know who those people are, your next candidate is Congressman Dark Money.
Yep.
And I don't care how pretty the package is and how nice the words sound. We've been lied to, Harrison, enough. I mean, time and time again. And here's the thing. If I'm going to be your next congressman, any congressman has to have the courage and the spine to stand up in a campaign and say, this is bunk, this is bull, and I'm going to defend my people, my district. I don't care if it's uncomfortable. It's a little uncomfortable to go on offense. But if we don't, we're going to lose this country. And as I see it, this is the kind of horse crap that goes around in our campaigns, which should not be permitted, should be illegal. And until somebody has the courage to stop it, it's going to continue. And if you don't have a congressman willing to call it out, how good are they going to be defending you on Capitol Hill?
Yeah, and it seems like now with Republicans especially, there's this almost an unspoken debate going on where it's like, okay, do we sort of take what we can get because like we just need somebody fighting for us, and hey, they might not be perfect, but they're the best option we have, or do we really put our foot down and go, no, if they're not 100% on board, then we're not going to stand for it. Because, you know, somebody can be 90% MAGA. They can be 90% on our side. That 10% can be the make or break. That can be the difference. That can be whether they stand up, you know, at the moment of importance, or whether they, roll over at that crucial moment. So I'm sort of on the side of like, I don't care if you're 90% with us. You need to be 100% with us, because what happens is that 10% is aligned throughout all of them. So, you know, you have different views, but they all align on Israel, or they all align on data centers. How much do you think data centers plays into Peter Thiel's interest all over the country?
Well, I think it's extremely important. I think it definitely, you know, I mean, there's an old saying, absolute power corrupts absolutely. What's your next step? When you just, you know, people keep looking for their next conquest, right? And I really don't think it's about who lines up the most with views, because if you really have somebody that's packaged as a candidate, and even if that's a good candidate, let's give some grace here. Let's say it is a good candidate, but if that candidate is controlled by somebody that set them up to go into power, they can say all the things they want to say. It comes down to who are they going to vote for and on what bills. They're going to be beholden not to the people, but to the people that put them in power.
Yep.
And that's why you don't have congressmen and senators and folks coming back, and people feel like they don't have the attention they deserve, and they feel like we are living in a monopolistic government state, because guess what we are?
Yeah.
Guess what we are? The people really don't have as much influence on the elections as you think, because you're given a choice between Coke or Pepsi, but either way, most of the time, you're drinking cola.
Right. Well, really, it's like Coke and Diet Coke, but the same company owns them both, right?
Yeah, so, right. Maybe even worse than what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, and it's so strange that there are certain topics that, like, really isn't even a party issue. All of America agrees. 90%+ of America doesn't want to go to war with Iran. 75% of Democrats and 90% of Republicans both want voter ID, and yet it's these things that the government fails to deliver. Well, how can we not get this done? If we are at all Democratic, it should be these overwhelmingly popular things that our government represents, but instead we're just told, no, this is the way it's going to be and you have to take it.
Because behind every problem is actually the government, and the government's resolve to fail to solve problems so they can lip serve to continue to try to solve them gives them a job. If we had no problems in the world, we wouldn't have any news cycles, and we wouldn't have any conflict and debate of real substance. And so you have to, in the words of Hillary Clinton, you can never let a good crisis go to waste.
Right.
Why do we not have a border closing under Joe Biden? Because they didn't want to. That's right. The answer. We can fix these problems. They say the wall doesn't work. Well, I guess what? The wall in Berlin worked really well for like about 45, 50 years, 40 some years. We can fix these problems. But government creates the problem, and it's no different. Some of your viewers might remember this, the show Green Acres. You remember Mr. Haney? He gave you the best deal to Oliver, right? He'd sell him a tractor for like $10. But the tractor wouldn't have a key, and to get the key was like $30,000. This is our government, ladies and gentlemen, in a nutshell. They offer us something that looks really to be a great deal, but when it's all said and done, the solution is going to cost you so much beyond what you're willing to pay for or could ever expect, as far as freedom and liberty and other different things, or maybe financial wealth because of inflation and other issues we can talk about.
Yeah, I want to get into all of that. This was the story I've been looking for here from today. DHS opens $1 billion tab with Palantir. So, you know, obviously helping to fund some of these races is paying off dividends for Palantir. The Department of Homeland Security struck a $1 billion purchasing agreement with Palantir last week, further reinforcing the software company's role in the federal agency that oversees the nation's immigration enforcement. Actually, I had another story where Palantir just got access to a ton of Palantir gets millions of dollars from New York City's public hospitals. New York City's public hospital system is paying millions to Palantir, the controversial ICE and military contractor, according to documents obtained by The Intercept. Since 2023, New York City Health and Hospital Corporations has paid Palantir nearly $4 million to improve its ability to track down payments and service provided. So, like, how do we fight back against it? It seems like Palantir and other companies, but Palantir is sort of the premier example, just insinuating themselves, AI companies insinuating themselves into data collection and healthcare and weapons manufacturing. And it's build back better. It's the great reset on steroids, the public-private partnership, which means that they're able to violate your rights because a private company is doing it, not the government. It's just it's relentless. And it seems like they're just capturing more and more.
And who owns Palantir again? Who's on the company?
Peter Thiel, I think, and Alex Karp, the very stable genius, Alex Karp.
Oh, the guy backing the candidate. Oh, interesting. This has got to be a guy we got to get behind to vote for because this is an American guy with American cause. Interesting how our elections are decided, ladies and gentlemen, through the shell corpse of, here it is here. Is it GPR Buying Corp, Ballast Corp, Darby House. Interesting things. $1.1 million. Nobody knows who gave this money to the campaign, to the candidate. Very interesting.
Well,
you got a very profitable company over there that's making a lot of money, and we know that.
And can bring a lot of jobs if you just help them build a database and give over half of your potable water, and then of course the jobs end up being from India anyway. And let's talk about that, because Texas is not living up to our reputation. We are absolutely failing, and frankly it's shameful. I am ashamed of us. We are being taken over by foreigners. Like the India scam, the H-1B scam is hitting Texas harder than maybe anywhere except for Minnesota. This is another thing. Like, what can we do to reclaim our sovereignty and stop selling out our birthright and our land itself to a bunch of foreigners who want to come here and make their own little enclaves?
Well, first of all, Texas needs to always be number one in football, not mosques.
Yes.
And, another
thing. Pigskins, we like to call them.
Yeah. Well, another thing. I call balls and strikes as I see it. I'm not a egg-sucking dog that's trying to brown nose to get endorsements. Governor Abbott, you've done a lot of good things, but this happened under your watch. Texas is number one in mosques, and you got to do better, buddy. Governor, you got to do better on this. I'm glad you're getting on the sticks finally, and we're going to do something about it, but I'm going to be a little critical. It happened as the captain of the ship. We have a huge infiltration of Islam, and Sharia law is now a fire that's burning very, very hot, and we got to have accountability, and I'm sorry if it hurts feelings, but you know whose feelings I'm worried about? I'm worried about kids' feelings. I'm worried about residents' feelings. I'm worried about senior citizens who have been bent over every which way but sideways because we have government people not fighting for the people, working for the people, and doing right by the people, but doing whatever they're doing, and I don't know what it is, but now we have an existential threat here in Texas, and if we lose Texas, lose this country. And I'm sorry if my words are a little sharp and maybe you got to go into a safe place, people. But at some point, it's time we start speaking real and getting down to business instead of brown nosing and trying to talk about how everybody is doing a wonderful job doing the wrong things. We have to fix Sharia law. And we have to outlaw. The only law that can exist in this country is the Constitution. That's it. We cannot have a de facto rogue group of people that are coming in here. And unfortunately, I don't see that much resistance. If you really want to get to the truth, this has been a NGO promotion to fund through American tax dollars this type of activity. And if you really want to peel it back, it's the globalist agenda to take away and strip our American culture, our Texas values, to reseed us and to populate us into a global community.
Yeah.
Thank you, Klaus Schwab, and you scumbags from the World Economic Forum.
And again, the fact that it's being done with our tax money is just, the insult on top of the injury. And I was going to say, in the last segment, you actually used the forbidden words. You actually reference and acknowledge the existence of white men. This, you're not supposed to do that, sir. If you're going to be a politician in D.C., you're supposed to pretend that white people don't exist as a collective that you're supposed to support only when you're demonizing them. Are you ever supposed to reference this?
I think we should pay a little bit of respect to white men. If we didn't, we wouldn't have electricity. We wouldn't have an automobile. We wouldn't have a lot of things. And I'm sick and tired of the white man being the doormat of the woke liberal agenda. And woke people, if you don't like that, go fly a kite. I don't have any problem with any race. I hired people of all different creeds, colors, and ethnicities. If you're an American, I'm for you if you care about America and you want to be upwardly mobile. That's what this country is about. We're in a meritocracy, which means merit-based. And at the end of America is I can. What we got to get rid of is this woke, insidious crap that puts division in this country. You want to talk about unity? Well, get these woke suckers the heck out of this country, because they're the ones pushing division. They're the ones feeding our youth with the poison and the nonsense that if you're born a certain race, the deck is stacked against you and you can't win. And I'm here to tell you, as a guy that grew up with very little, and I had people that threw garbage out the school bus window at me because I grew up in a small house and they were some rich suckers that lived down the street. And I said, you know what? I'm gonna grow up and I'm going to make something of myself. And for a long time, I wanted to prove those people wrong. But in reality, all I had to do is prove it to myself. Mm-hmm. This is what we need to go back to in this country. We need to go back to saying the Pledge of Allegiance. We need to go back to loving our country. And if people come here, they want to work hard and they're going to come here legally, that's what America is about. If you're going to come and crash this party and come to our country and you're going to desecrate us, frankly, I think those types of people are recruited. They're not coming here on their own. It's worse than that. They're being recruited by the woke liberal arm, which acts as an extension of the globalist movement, which is here to try to strip away patriotism and American values that we love.
Right. And it's a simple sort of algorithmic thing, right? It's like, okay, they want to demonize white people, and then they say, well, what is whiteness? Well, whiteness is all of this stuff about the Constitution and all of this concern about free speech. I mean, they literally are saying, let's demonize whiteness. What is whiteness? Oh, it's all of your freedoms. It's all the things that make you strong. It's family and faith and the nuclear family and Christianity. And so it's like, it couldn't be more clear. They're trying to demonize the things that make you strong. They're trying to force you to voluntarily give up the things that make you able to resist their coercion. It's like obvious, but they are actually attacking white people.
Anybody that thinks that they're in the smooth, cool, hip, woke thing by being somewhat superior because they're what I call a person that steps on a face to climb the moral high ground. That's what they are. They'll step on someone's face to try to feel superior to somebody else because they're that insecure as a person that they have to say, well, I'm white and we're bad. And this, you know what? Then you're the racist and you're the problem. The Bible talks about all of us being in the image and likeness of God. And that's what we have to remember. And we have to remember that we are all children of God, right? Now, God also talks about accountability, and we have to have accountability. And if you're a woke liberal and you're going around teaching kids about this white hate, I've got no use for you. I'm going to come after your ideologies and challenge you every step of the way. And don't think that you can shame me, because guess what? I will not bend a knee to your woke garbage.
I'm just laughing over here because why don't we have more politicians like this? Like, it doesn't seem that. Was that hard for you? Was that hard for you to say? I mean, you were exactly right. But it's like, where are the other politicians with just that basic humanity? Because in a weird way, it's like, it's a weird inverted form of white supremacy that white people are like, yeah, we'll let everybody come in. And yeah, you know, our laws are bad. Maybe your laws are better. And we'll just give up our stuff. It's like, guys, you are also vulnerable. Why are you allowing yourself to be attacked and demonized? It's not right. And you wouldn't stand for any other race. So
I did business with some Jewish people. I had some very good relationships with Jewish people that were survivors of the Holocaust, right? And you know what they told me? They said, we stood around and we watched things happen that we didn't like that was going on. Mm. And we didn't take action. And by the time we knew we should have, it was too late.
Right.
Let's not let that happen in this country. People, you got to find some spines. It's why I'm running for Congress with my money, because I'm fed up with it. And you've got to find your freedom. We have a Holy Spirit inside each one of us. Speak the truth. Do not allow for people to brainwash you and tell you things that are not true. And that's what the manipulation and the woke indoctrination camps that are running around in so many of these blue cities are trying to do it to our kids.
Yep.
And why we're losing our identity.
Yeah.
And we need to go back to common sense values. And what I'm calling for is unity. That's what I'm calling for. I'm calling to say, how did we ever get here? I grew up in the 80s where, you know, Democrats and Republicans may not have agreed on everything, but we weren't trying to rip each other's faces off, and we could at least have conversations. And people like Socrates and I, you know, the great thinkers, they would say, we have an obligation to talk to the other side because they may prove that we're misconceived on issues, but we have to start having conversations. But what we can't do is we can't, as conservatives, be weak. And we can't allow for them to bully us. And we can have conversations, but we need to have them in a manner where it says, I believe in my principles.
Mm-hmm.
I respect what you may have to say, but do not expect for me to bend a knee and submit to your ideas because you are trying to bully me or censor me or kick me off of social media or have me lose my job because of something I believe.
Yep.
I think when somebody is not on the clock, they should be able to say whatever the hell they want. This is America. And if you don't like it, then somebody can disagree with it. We're big boys and girls. This is America. We should have tolerance
right.
in this country.
Real tolerance, not just yes. the not just the code word, kind of yes. like real diversity, not just when it's used as a code word. No, you're exactly right. And you know, we're running out of time, but we have one more video to go to. I really want to go to this because this is your opponent, Mr. Yarbrough, and he sort of made an accidental Freudian slip here that I think we caught him on. So let's go to this video. It's a little low quality, but it's short. Here's J.C. Yarbrough sort of admitting something that he shouldn't have said. Let's watch.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so there's a lot of candidates that's in this race.
Yes, ma'am.
Most of them live in the district. You do not live in the district.
That's correct.
So why is it that you decided to run in this district when you can't even vote for yourself?
That's a great question. I'm glad you asked that. Most of the candidates running do not live in this district. I was asked to...
Whoopsies. I was recruited. I mean, I was asked to run. Of course, Paul Bondar does live in the district. A little bit of a Freudian slip there from your opponent.
Recruited by who? Million plus dollars of dark money from who? You talked earlier about AI centers, rural water in Texas. It's a big issue. The mineral rights in East Texas, that's a big issue. If somebody's being controlled by somebody that wants to put a data center up, how good is that going to be for the citizens of East Texas? How kind of a future and leadership do you think we're going to get looking out for their best interests by somebody who owes a favor or their entire campaign potentially to somebody that wants to open up a data center? I don't know. I don't think it's too rosy.
I don't want my elected representatives recruited by some dark force. I want them standing up like you are. Paul Bondar, go to you can follow Paul Bondar on X at electbondar, electbondar.com, on Instagram at realpaulbondar, and on Facebook, Paul Bondar as well, for Texas's 32nd district. Thanks so much for being here with us, sir.
Yes, God bless you.
Thank you, sir. Amazing. We'll be right back.
Today and tomorrow, the last days to get 100 times X entries into the amazing raffle. It only happens every few months where both of the offerings of the Shelby Mustang and the awesome Ford off-road truck, 100X for every dollar you spend on the store, put into the raffle. You get put in for just the next 2 days, is all that's left, to get both vehicles. There's a time where there's a crossover for 1 week. That ends tomorrow. Every order in the site for a very limited time, it's probably just last throughout the weekend, I'm told, is this hat. And this is a classic design that I put out on InfoWars like 20 years ago. I noticed everybody else copied it, which is cool. I just go, why don't we have that classic design back? So they brought it back, and it's a ring of, 13 stars around 1776. And it's simple, it's clean, and a leftist probably won't kill you or murder you for it. You know, if you have like a MAGA or InfoWars hat, that's a real adventure. This is just at the airport or wherever, hey, patriots know. And it's just exciting, spreads the word. So every order, on top of the sales that are already there, for a limited time, gets a free 1776 ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the store, Become a VIP for $30 a month. You can cancel any time for free. Instantly, you get $40 to spend each month. The minute you click that button for $30, you get $40 to spend. Special deals, special offers, special sales, top everything. So anybody buying anything should be a VIP. And it's really no commitment. You just get better deals. Cancel any time for free. One click in your profile. Everyone should be a VIP. Also, sometimes stuff runs out and sells out. You don't want to happen? Become a subscriber. Cancel any time. They hold it back for you at the biggest discounts as well. Become a VIP. Become a subscriber. But regardless, share the live feeds of the show. Tell folks about those local AM and FM stations, cable stations, because that's how we reach new people, and that's how we change the world. The whole globalist house of cards is coming down. We've been vindicated. You've been vindicated. Nothing's going to stop that. Stay with us. Massive guest straight ahead.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.